So the last thing I want to ask you about is just to take a breath and talk a little bit about what happened at ASH. You mentioned a couple of things already in terms of MPNs that you think docs in practice should know about.
Yeah. So I think a couple of things happened at ASH. One is interferon is still there. I think we're still investigating it. I think it's a good treatment option. And it's certainly something to read about, kind of catch up on, and have in your toolkit to take care of MPN patients. I've used quite a bit of it, and I find it very helpful to have that option to reach for when patients either don't want to go on hydroxyurea or are intolerant to hydroxyurea and you want to use something else. I think it can be a very valuable tool. It's sometimes a challenge to get through the approval process in terms of prior authorizations and things, and it is a little tricky. It takes a little practice getting used to the drug in prescribing and managing it, but I think it can be a really useful tool. And a lot of the data that came out of ASH is showing that, yeah, it can be very helpful and can be very useful. The one trial in particular, the MPD-RC112 study, was a head-to-head comparison of interferon versus hydroxyurea in ET and PV patients. Response rates were kind of the same. The amount of side effects were about the same. They had different side effects and different improvements in symptom burdens and things, so you kind of parse it out in the details there. But still, I think it's a great option. Other things from ASH is we've looked at a couple of different combination studies. One that was shown using a PI3 kinase delta inhibitor, which was showing some improvement in symptom burdens in combination with ruxolitinib. So these were patients who were on ruxolitinib for their myelofibrosis, had either a plateau or worsening of their symptoms, and we added back in this PI3 kinase delta inhibitor. And we did regain symptom control in a fair number of patients. Now, this is an interim analysis of a phase two study, so it's a little early to say what that's going to show over time. But this add-back strategy, I think, is something that's going to be more and more common, and we're seeing more and more studies being developed with this add-back strategy. So I think it's something we're going to see in the future.
Do you think it's encouraging enough that maybe it's going to make its way into practice?
Potentially, or at least this particular mechanism of action. So there's already PI3 delta kinase inhibitors approved, and there's a large number of other ones in development. So it might be one of these situations where we're looking at this mechanism as a whole. We look across the class of medications, and if this one doesn't particularly make it forward, we might be able to find another one.
When you talk about other PI3 kinase, are you talking about capanlisib and those drugs?
Yep, those drugs in particular.
This concludes our program. Special thanks to our faculty, and thank you for listening. This is Dr. Neil Love for MPN Update.